Good morning, church.
Good morning.
A great joy once again to be with you. And please turn with me to 1 Peter. We continue where we left off. 1 Peter, and this morning we're looking at verses 10 to 12 of the first chapter. First Peter chapter 1 verses 10 to 12. I'm gonna fire him. And the title of the message this morning, church, Our Great Salvation. And I will read from the ESV. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Have this picture. God creates the world and he placed man in the Garden of Eden. He pronounced all these good things that he has created, including man. Then sin comes into the picture and Adam is thrown out of the Garden of Eden. A curse is pronounced. The gospel is also pronounced. But we see much of the curse as life, and the people go through the lives that they were living at the time. Cain kills his brother. A curse, another curse is pronounced upon him. The people of God are separated. Adam bears son and names him Seth. And the Bible tells us that the Sethite became the righteous people of God, while the Cain people became those who were rebellious and had nothing to do with the word of God. Wickedness continued in the world. The Bible tells us that God looks from heaven, he sees that man has rebelled against him, and he's so sorry that he has created man. God sends a flood and he saved 8 people, and from that 8 people, nations started to grow again. Then people begin to think that they are clever. They build up a tower thinking they will reach unto heaven, but God scatters them. We see that there is no godliness in the world anymore. Then God, by his grace, he chooses a man called Abram, that in this man, through this man, an offspring will come. Now That's when the story starts. The story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Regarding the promise of Genesis 3:15, now we see a promise that a seed will come into this world. But darkness continues, the darkness and the cloud of sin continues to cover the history of the people of God. Look at their suffering. That's where I'm going. Now they are found in Egypt and they are suffering there under the tyranny of the kings and the evil spirit of the world. They look around, there is no help. They can only cry unto God that God can help them. Suddenly God does that. But as God takes out his people from Egypt, the people continues in sin. There the people spend 40 years in the wilderness instead of 40 days in the wilderness. They die in the wilderness. Snakes bite them because of their sin. Suffering continues. Immediately after that, when they just have a foretaste of the promised land, they are taken into captivity in Babylon later on. Life seems to be hopeless. They are suffering in Babylon. Their history is being wiped out of their minds and their lives. Their heritage, their culture is being stolen from them. They are suffering. Is there any hope? Is there any consolation? The prophet continues to speak of someone who is coming. Now they anticipate this coming king. As soon as this king comes, they've got expectation that the king will sit literal on the seat of the kings and take the kingdom from this world. Hope becomes something of hopelessness when the king doesn't do that physically. The king is born, he lives in this world, he gets crucified, he dies, rose from the dead, ascended unto heaven, and leaves them one more time in this world of sin. The church is born. The New Testament church is born. But instead of good things happening, the church begins to suffer. Imagine the people of God were suffering in the Old Testament, anticipating someone coming to set them free from suffering. Now the person has come and left them, they are still suffering. What is there for them? Here, where we are in the letter of Peter, church, we are confronted with such a situation as I've explained before. A situation that seems to be hopeless. There is no joy. There is no gladness. There is no jumping around. There is no singing in the church. The world hates the people of God. But there is something that I want to bring. Perhaps these people are suffering. Perhaps they are suffering because they are Gentiles who just try to fit themselves into something that doesn't belong to them, perhaps. Because this salvation belongs to the Jews. Maybe that is why they are suffering. That is what we want to find out. Maybe you are suffering as a Christian because you have left your culture and joined someone else's culture. Peter writes to them. It is not so. God has loved you. He has chosen you before the foundation of the world. He has set His love upon you. He foreknew you as His people. You didn't become His people by chance. He heard you at the bottom of His heart. He loved you. He caused you to be born again. But now where we are, we continue with the encouragement. Peter is encouraging and people who needs great encouragement. Now he's encouraging them based on the history of the prophets. The question is, did the prophets who were Jews have anything to say or anything to do with the Gentiles who will be believers? Did they have a message for us? Can we have something of encouragement when we go back and read the Old Testament, or we should just look at the New Testament? That is what we are looking at. And I want us to look at this thing in three encouraging ideas. I want us this morning to see the character and the purpose of the Old Testament prophets. Answering the question, did they serve the Gentiles? Did they have anything to do with us? Can we confidently open the Word of God and find courage in times of distress and perplexity? Especially the Old Testament. Did the Old Testament have anything to do with our salvation? So that we may be able to praise God for salvation. So that we may be able to praise God and know that we have a great salvation. So I want us to look at the character and the purpose of these Old Testament prophets for the church today. The first thing I want you to see is that the prophet spoke of our salvation. Verse 10 and 11. Concerning this salvation, the prophet who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully. Church, the salvation which these believers possess was predicted by the prophets before it materialized. Remember, church, we are talking about Jewish prophets while we are Gentiles. We want to know, is there anything that has to do with us here? So, we realize as we read the Word of God that the prophet spoke what was inspired by God. And what they spoke came to pass. In other words, the salvation that the Christian church have today, the salvation that we cherish today, is not a man-made salvation. It is not a salvation that is bound to fail, therefore. This is a salvation that is worth holding on to. Through thick and thin, through sorrows and pain, this is a salvation we need to cherish. Prophet spoke, Bazalwane, of great victory. Remember how they spoke of the great victory which God will have over His enemies. As we think of these things, now we remember that if the church is in great suffering, they must remember the great victory which the prophets spoke about, and God was eventually victorious, which means that we also can be victorious because God was victorious. It was the prophets who spoke the Moses the prophet, wrote and said, a seed is coming. A seed that will crush the head of the serpent. Satan will be defeated. And now Peter is telling us that all that these prophets wrote also had to benefit us, even though we were not Jews. Therefore, church, in suffering, we should not think, the believer should not think that suffering that we have right now or that we heard comes primarily from Satan. That is what Peter wants to communicate to this church. He wants to tell them, he wants to remind them, Satan is a defeated fool. He wants to tell them that, remember, there on that cross, Jesus trampled upon the devil. He put him to open shame. He defeated the sin and the curse of sin upon his people. As the church, we need to remember that as we read the Old Testament and we're trying to get encouragement, the Old Testament does not leave us with dry bones in the valley of the dead. He says, you can get encouragement from the Old Testament. It is not just a book that leaves you with dry bones, but a book that brings hope. A book or words that brings hope of victory. The victory of Israel. The victory of Judah. And the victory of the Gentiles. In other words, the victory of the church of God. So it leaves us with a foretaste of God's victory over his enemies. Remember that. As you go through suffering, God had you in mind. You may not see yourself in the pages of scripture as you read what the prophets wrote, but God had you in mind. We are not suffering because Satan is in control. He says, look at what the prophets wrote. Consider what the prophet wrote. Draw strength from what the prophet wrote. God's word is for you, given by the Jewish prophets. The salvation spoken by these prophets was for our benefit, church. They pointed to the coming Lamb of God who was coming to take away the sin of the world. Therefore, he says, in suffering, you don't need your own prophets that will speak great words of encouragement. You don't need your own prophets that will bring some kind of a motivational hit tones, motivational speeches that just excite you right now. But you need the true word of God. He says, regardless of the fact that you were Gentiles, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, separated from God, having no God in this world, worshipping idols, having no hope, regardless of all that, God had you in mind. The prophet spoke of your salvation. So Peter does not want these people to try and understand their situation to the point whereby they lose focus. They must not try to understand their situation until they lose focus. Because it's easy to look around and look at your situation and you find some difficult things and you end up focusing on that and lose focus. He says also, they must not look for something greater than salvation just because they are going through suffering. It's easy, Bazarani, to go through suffering and think that something greater than the salvation that we have must come so that you may be free. Regardless of the suffering, you have true hope. You have true salvation. That is all that we need. That is all that we need to have a victory. Therefore, there should be great rejoicing that we are saved by the power of the cross. There should be great rejoicing that our sorrows and our pain are at the hand, at the palm of God. God foreknew us. He pre-planned for us. He spoke of our salvation. And finally, he brought this salvation to pass through the death of Christ on the cross. But just to add more, Peter is not only talking about the fact that the prophet spoke of this salvation. He also adds something in verse number 11. He says in verse number 11, the prophet searched and inquired carefully and predicted the suffering of Christ and subsequent glory. So in other words, church, for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the believers of the future, the prophets made sure that what was said, what they said, was reliable and trustworthy. What does that tell us? We have a reliable and trustworthy word of God. They searched diligently. They inquired carefully. They did not just speak something just because they had to speak. But not only did they speak of the salvation that was to come, they spoke of the suffering of Christ. And the suffering of Christ proves then that their message was true because Christ suffered. Not only did they speak of the suffering of Christ for your sake, not only did they speak of the suffering of Christ for your sake, they also spoke of the glory of Christ, giving you hope as Christians that when he returns, when he appears, you also will appear with him in glory. That is the message that the prophet spoke. So regardless of the fact that believers in this world are dealing with a faithless world and world of sin and full of hatred towards God and animosity towards Christ, regardless of that fact, regardless of all that, the believer in this world is dealing with a faithful God. A God who had been faithful to his prophets. A God who is faithful to his word. A God who is faithful to his son. Saying to him, ask of me and I will make the nation your heritage and the end of the world your possession. If God was faithful to the message of the prophets, that he will bring Christ who will reconcile men to God, that he will bring Christ who will reconcile men to men, if God was faithful in that way, he continues to be faithful even today. Even in your suffering, he is faithful. He will bring the suffering to an end. Even if you live your life through suffering until you pass through this world. But at the end of the day, you will receive a crown of glory. That is what Peter is communicating to the believers. In great persecution, you believers, regardless of the fact that you are Gentiles, you can open up the word of God and create and get great encouragement. You don't need your own man-made prophets. In the midst of suffering, you can have hope. You can trust God. He was faithful. He continues to be faithful. Look unto Him. Hold on to this salvation. What a great salvation that you have. Regardless of suffering, hope. Because of this salvation, I will ask, do we all boast on this salvation? In great distress, does the message of salvation lift you up? In great distress, do you anticipate good things? Or you remain hopeless? Don't be like the world. You have something predicted, spoken of, manifested, and it is found in the pages of Scripture, not under a mountain, not from a prophet of your own, but from the pages of Scripture. Secondly, prophets did not serve themselves. He wants them to have this great joy, like the prophets served them, not themselves. Don't you wish you can write these words in a big billboard around Oliver and put it up and say, prophets serve not themselves but us? That's what the prophet did. Verse number 12 says, it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you. Church, the Old Testament prophets did not just serve the Jews. Peter says they served all Christians. The prophets of old understood that they were called to minister to a future generation. In other words, church, if we will claim to be prophets today, we will need to serve a future generation. We will need not to be self-centered, but we need to look outside of us. They served a coming generation. They were never self-centered. They should find joy in this. Their salvation is built on something solid. People who served selflessly. People who reminds them of the Lord Jesus Christ, who also come and serve us willingly. The prophets lived to the point that all that they did will benefit the Christians. Church, should the prophets serve themselves, none will be saved. When prophets serve themselves, no one gets saved. Because at the center of their self-centeredness, at the center of their message, there is them, me, myself, and I. And there cannot be salvation there. Message that comes from a prophet who served himself. Does not have Jesus, but it has the world, the things of the world, the pursuit of happiness, the pursuit of your best life now. They will never point you beyond the grave. They will never encourage you to lift up your eyes unto the cross, lift up your eyes unto the hill where your health will come from. They will point you to themselves. They will train their little followers to point to themselves. You will hear their followers telling you that there is a prayer gathering at 12 o'clock at Pretoria Stadium where Bishop or Prophet Mang Mang is there. When we are in trouble, the question is not, have you prayed? The question is not, have you consulted with God? The question is not, have you opened the pages of Scripture? But the question is, have you heard of Prophet Bashir? Whoever any other prophet is. Jesus says no. The prophet that builds you up to where you are through the word of God, did not serve themselves. They did not point to themselves. They pointed to the cross. In so doing, they saved you that you may be saved. Church, it was because of the self-centered ministry of the false prophets in the times of Jeremiah that the people of God ended up in Babylon. How do you know that they served themselves? As I mentioned, the message points to them. But one more thing that you learn as you read the false prophets of Jeremiah is that prophets who serve themselves want to please the world. They want to be politically correct. They have so much reverence to the kings of this world and the King of Glory. The prophets in times of Jeremiah, they wanted to please the kings. They never wanted to please God by carrying the right message from God. They lived to serve their bellies. In language of today, they accumulated cash for themselves. All that was in their mind was them and their family, but never the future generation of the Church of God. They served their bellies. But our salvation is built on a solid foundation. The foundation of the apostles and the prophets. People who willingly gave themselves to serve us. So what are these Christian now learning? This prophet spoke of the suffering of Jesus. When they served you, they also suffered. They never stopped serving you regardless of the suffering. You too. In the midst of great suffering, in the midst of great persecution, don't be self-centered. You need to serve one another. You need to serve a future generation. You need to keep the truth of the word of God. You need to teach one another to point to the cross. You need to forget the things that are happening around you. You need to forget the little wisdom that comes from men. That sounds like a godly idea, but it's just a good idea outside godliness. Serve one another. Even in great persecution. Akungabi omunye for himself. The prophets did not save you in that way. So, remember also, this is now Peter telling the church, they suffered, that you also, when you suffer, may endure. Remember how they endured for your sake, also endure for the future's sake, the future of the church. Endure. They always had God in mind, and the fact that they had God in mind, they suffered. Now you have God in mind, you will suffer. Or as Peter is addressing them, you are suffering. But let that not be your primary focus. Primary focus. Serve one another. Preserve this word, preserve this gospel for the future generation. I wish I had more time to speak on that point. Preserving the word for future generation here in Olivet. But you get the idea. So the prophet served the church so that the church will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They served the church so that the church will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, hallelujah, amen. Amen. What does today's prophets do? They serve themselves. They enrich themselves. Their aim is to steal, destroy, and to kill the souls. Their message is never about Jesus. Their end product does not produce encouragement, but temporal joy and excitement for a little while. Their followers, as many as they are, unable to endure suffering in this world. As they go through little suffering, they ask a question: why me, Lord? Why me? Why should bad things happen to good people? Because they have not been taught to endure suffering. Their faith has not been tried and to see the genuineness of that faith. Let us avoid our own man-made prophets, because they are the center of attraction. They don't have the future in mind, but their little congregations and themselves. Therefore, only a message that comes through prophets who saved you can encourage you in times of trials. Imagine, you never saw me speaking to you. You have never heard me suggesting or praying for you. You never heard me saying, I love you. And I did say last week, I love you, church. But now, when you go through suffering, I was never there in your life. Is it possible for you to trust my encouragement? That is what is happening with the prophets who serve themselves. Their encouragement will never point you to God. They never spoke about God to you. They speak about themselves. Church, the prophets of old had God in mind.
let us also have God in mind. But above all, let us have one another in mind. So that we hold each other by hands, each other's hands when we go through suffering. Thirdly, the prophets preach good news. The prophets preached good news. Not only did they save you, but what came out of their mouth was good news. And we know that good news is speaking of the gospel. It says in verse number 12, it was revealed to them that they were saving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news. This must encourage the church. Why should this encourage the church? Church, you are not saved by listening to stories. You are saved by listening to the good news. It encourages the church to desire more of the good news. It encourages the church to reject stories. They preach good news. What was this good news? The prophet spoke of God's redemptive plan for man. The prophet spoke of someone who was to come and liberate man from sin and under the tyranny of Satan. They spoke of he who was to come and unite man and God, as I was saying. He who will come and suffer, that we may know ourselves that suffering is not an end. He suffered, but he was victorious afterwards. Suffering is not an end. They preached the good news. Listen to this good news, what they preached. As the people were going through great distress in the Old Testament, as the king rejected God and the message of salvation, other foreign kings and camping around them to destroy them, the situation seems gloomy and hopeless. Isaiah 40 verse 1 and 2. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her or for her sins. How is that going to happen? How is this a comfort? How is this good news? Verse 3. This is what the prophet spoke. They preach good news. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. You remember these words. These words point to John the Baptist. But that comfort, comfort my people speaks about the one who comes and follows John the Baptist. The prophet spoke of our salvation. They saved us. But above all, they preach good news. Are we gathered here because of good news? Or we are gathered here because it's just Sunday? Peter then says, it is then the Spirit of Christ that moved the Jewish prophet to speak good news even for you
Gentiles.
The
Spirit of Christ revealed Christ to them. Praise the Lord even today. The Spirit of Christ is revealing Christ to you even today through this good news preached by those who got it from the prophets. Now, those are the apostles. The good news makes Christ known to us. Why is that important? Because the world and sin make suffering known to us. But the good news makes Christ known to us. We need the good news. The Christian in great suffering, Peter says, they must hold on to this good news. The Christian must not believe this big lie from the devil when they go through suffering. The devil might whisper on your ears saying Christianity is discouraging. It is full of discouragement. Christianity is too hard. Christianity is just impossible. Christianity is not easy for the ordinary person. Peter says no. You must press on to what you have believed. You must cherish the good news that was initially given to you. In spite of flesh, in spite of the devil screaming on your ears about how difficult your situation is, you have the good news. The good news is that God is on your side. In suffering, God is on your side. In suffering, God continues to love you. The Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? In great suffering,
you have hope.
This is the good news. So the gospel that the prophet spoke was not just history. It was something living and active. Something that was preached as good news that will benefit you even today. Giving you hope. Hope today. Hope for the future. Hope in the Lord. Today and forever. So church, our salvation is much of a good news. Not only you see Peter saying the prophet preach of this good news, he continues to say even the angels anticipated this good news. The angels desired to see the unfolding of this good news. What you have, church, angels desired to see. He says the angels desire to look unto these things. In other words, the angels did not have a full picture of what the prophet spoke, but you now have a full picture of what the prophet spoke. Therefore, it is this good news, church, that will keep us in Christ. This good news is the good news that will preserve us even in these Christless situations that we're going through. This good news gives us hope in a hopeless world. This good news is our message that we should carry in our suffering. We should not let any situation discourage us. That was telling the church, don't let any situation discourage you. You have the greatest news the world has ever seen. angels desired to see these things. They witnessed God's work throughout history. They ministered to the prophets. Now the angels are ministering to you in your great suffering. That is good news. Church, the reason why I'm saying the gospel is good news in suffering. Suffering can twist your perspective. If you read Psalm 73, you see how Asaph, he was convinced that God caused him to suffer. He was convinced that now God was not on his side anymore. It took time for him to recognize that God will never leave nor forsake his people. But what caused that? Suffering. And in suffering, he forgot the good news. That God is on your side. We saw how Elijah, how he ran for his life, hiding himself in the cave, hoping to die, thinking he's done, thinking God is not on his side. Why? Because he was suffering. He forgot the good news. God will never leave and forsake his people. We saw John the Baptist asking, "Are you the Christ?" Why is he asking? Not because he doesn't know this is Christ, but suffering makes him to question his Christianity. That is what Peter is saying. Let not suffering question your salvation. Don't let suffering question the message you received. You have received the good news. Regardless of your situation, you must just hold on to that good news. For the best interest of the gospel, in suffering, the Christians should continue to herald the good news. In other words, we must forget to look at ourselves. Look at the big picture. God is saving the world. And he wants to use you to save the world. Forget your little problems. Herald the good news. That is what this is about. You have the good news. It was preached. And now it is on you to preach this good news. Let me bring this to conclusion. The Old Testament prophets proved to us that God loved us. We are not his plan B. We are not suffering as Africans or as Christians in Africa or wherever we are just because we have tapped into other people's business. No. This salvation is for us. Why is it for us? We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And God is the one who can save us. Having saved us. He has not promised that we won't suffer. But in suffering, we must remember we have a great salvation. In the midst of persecution, in tears and sorrows, in the midst of darkness and hopelessness. Let us always remember the faithfulness of God.
He
was faithful to the prophets,
faithful
to his message,
faithful
to his son.
He's
faithful to us even today. For that reason, let us praise God for our salvation. Each and every day, church, let us always be thankful. Thank you, Lord, for our salvation. God, we thank you for preserving your word. God, we thank you for keeping your promises. Thank you for loving us and making us your people. Thank you for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the message that we get from the church. Thank you that when we go through suffering, reminding us that you have not left us and forsaken us. Thank you, Lord, that you always had us in mind. Don't you see, church, that actually the best heritage you can leave, or inheritance you can leave for your people, is the word of God. Something you can leave behind for your children to cherish forever, the word of God. The prophets left it for us so that we may be encouraged. Let me say this. Although this world is not our home, but we can look back at history and find joy. God loved us. He prepared a salvation for us. So let us go out and speak and spread this good news of salvation. Let us not serve ourselves but serve others. Let us not love ourselves but love others. Let us continue to remind one another of this good news. Let us continue to encourage one another when we go through suffering. Learn not to be selfish. Learn from the prophets. Lead by example, that the Lord may continue to bless a future generation. But above all, let us pray the Lord to remove the false prophets. Because if prophets does not give us a good message in suffering, we will not remember the Lord. Make sure that in great distress you remember how God has always had you in mind. And let us pray.